Yo, what's up, y'all? We're back here another week, episode 6. We made it. We made it to episode 6, man. Yeah, here we are another week talking about San Jose Earthquakes, Burlingame Dragons finally made it out to a game. That's going to be exciting. Well, we still have Copa America going on. It's June 15th. Right in the middle, the quarterfinals are coming up. The men's national team here plays tomorrow? Yeah, they play tomorrow. So when this episode is being released, the game should be going on. My prediction? Shit. I don't know. Ecuador is looking mighty tough for U.S. I don't know. Stupid. How are you going to get a fuck? What's it? Yedlin, man. How are you going to get a fucking red card? At that late in the tournament, you don't do that. Whatever, it's looking tough for the United States, though. I have hope. I believe. I actually can't say that. That's got to be one of the stupidest chants. Can we fucking retire that chant already? Luckily, I haven't heard it too much this tournament. But I believe we will win. Nah, you had your time. It wasn't a very good time, but you're out. So much luck to the team tomorrow. I can't wait. I'm excited. I might have to watch it here at work on my computer, but I don't care. I'm going to watch that game. Hate to say it, but if they don't fucking win, we get Wando back. And yeah, the Earthquakes are really, really missing their main goal scorer and their two Panamanian midfielders. It's been a rough several weeks. It's been a rough 2 or 3 weeks. It's going on 270 plus minutes now, no goal scored, including last night. Was it last night? I think they played last night. Yeah, the U.S. Open Cup game. Again, streamed by the Timbers only. Thanks, fucking Portland. The good looking out. The team in the middle of Silicon Valley couldn't figure out a live stream. It's okay. So luckily, was able to watch the game. Well, actually, I don't know how lucky I was. It was pretty sad affair there. They had Chad Barron and Adam John up top to start the game. They come out in their typical 4-4-2, which was interesting, I guess. Chad Barron hadn't, I don't think he's played all season, so it was nice for him to get some minutes. And Adam John up there, I know there's some people. Adam John is either one of the more liked Earthquakes or one of the more hated ones. There's no in between with Adam John. You either really, really like him or you really, really hate him. It's hilarious being at the games. But anyway, he got the start up front and Innocent played. That was interesting. Innocent started on the right wing. And it looked pretty fucking terrible. There was very little strong points, very little to get excited about. It was the fourth round of the U.S. Open Cup. I mean, so really it wasn't an MLS game. But like I said last week, hardware matters. I, as a fan, as a supporter, as a follower, I don't care if you're in a tournament, if you agree to be in the tournament, if you're playing in the tournament. I want to win. I want to see some hardware out of that tournament, whatever it might be. And last night, they showed that they had absolutely no interest in that tournament. And it's not unique. It's not unique. Usually ends up being an MLS team that wins. But, I mean, the soccer pyramid is still pretty weak in this country. But very rarely do MLS teams take the U.S. Open Cup seriously, even though they end up winning every year. But it's frustrating. It's frustrating. It's either they didn't show up to play, or it shows the extreme lack of depth that the San Jose Earthquakes have. This is a big tournament. you know, this isn't just some random, two, three team tournament. The U.S. Open Cup is a really, really old tournament. It's really pretty prestigious. And yeah, so you would expect this to be, at least be the B team that came out. You know, this is the team that in case of injury, in case of, you know, suspensions, whatever it might be, this is the team that's going to step in and there's not going to be a big drop off in play. And if that's what this team is, then that's fucking scary. That's fucking scary because this team, they did absolutely nothing to inspire you. You know, watching it, and they didn't look inspired themselves on the pitch. And this is with, I mean, the big, what do you call it? The elephant in the room, I guess is the phrase, but innocent is what he's about. I know around $6 million a year designated player. He's easily the highest paid player on the team, and he comes in to a tournament, you know, the U.S. Open Cup, and does absolutely nothing. Does nothing. You would expect him to be running circles around the Timbers B team. Who, I mean, and again, the quick, oh, we were short staffed. We're missing four players. We're missing four players. The Timbers are missing eight. The Timbers are missing eight fucking players. So again, if this was a B team versus B team, this was as evenly matched as possible. And the Quakes looked absolutely, absolutely outperformed. And it was frustrating as a fan watching this. There was nothing. There was nothing. You were just getting through the game. You know, you were just checking the clock, like, man, this isn't, you don't feel that they're going to inspire anything. And again, then this was with Quincy on the bench, MPG on the bench. This was, you know, so it wasn't, I don't know. Again, I don't know what, you know, it's hard sometimes to understand Dom Kinnear's B squad selections. I don't know what he would include in his team, but MPG came in the 69th minute and instantly made a difference in the game. But once again, you could tell his frustration just playing with players that are not up to his level technically. He makes these nice passes. He starts these beautiful runs, but it just doesn't work out. And this team, again, this team at all that was on the pitch had very, very little chemistry. There was, you know, I don't know. Marvell Wynn, I think, would have to be my favorite player. Marvell Wynn came in the 61st minute, and he was Marvell Wynn. You know, he's still fast as fuck. He still can't get caught. And he was making the defensive plays. Nothing really scary got past after he came in. But man, for a defender to come in the 61st minute and that to be the player of the game, that's really frustrating. And yeah, again, that's all I can say. The game finished, Quakes 0, Timbers 2, which is fucking frustrating again, which makes that the 270 plus minutes without a goal scored. And what bothered me even, I don't know, even more, but because, you know, my fuck, you get these quotes from the coaches, and it sucks because you can't get video. It's really hard to get video. MLS is still, I mean, ultimately really a small league. So when you get the quotes in the emails, you really don't know what emotion to put on. You don't know how the player or the coach was saying a certain thing. But anyway, there was Dom Kinnear. You know, they were asking him about the adjustments in the second half. And again, he was, you know, talking about trying to get Chad Barrett to catch one of the Adam John's flicks and do something. It never really happened. But he says, but what interests me, he ended it with, you just want to be a little bit more positive and take some more chances going forward. And damn, that just seems like such a generic answer. Such as like, yes, this is what you want to hear. And it's like, oh, you want to take more chances? You want to take more chances? Well, they've already played, you know, 14 games. They played 14 games already in the MLS season. And the Quakes have the fourth least amount of shots taken in MLS. The fourth least amount of shots with 147. And of those 147, they are at the second least amount shots on goal. They have 50 shots on goal on the season. And of those goals, 16 of those 15 have converted into goals, making, you know, the sixth least amount in the MLS. That's their better stat when it comes to shooting. But so that we have to be more positive and take more chances going forward. What does that mean? How? You know, is it going to be a lineup change? We can't transfer anybody in at the moment, but is there something coming up? How is Innocent gonna fit into this? You know, there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of stuff, and it seems like the same. Again, the responses from the Quakes, it makes it seem like this was like, whatever, we lost this game, that sucks, we have to improve later. But it's like, no, this is a big tournament. You know, this is something. They're I believe now 0-10 against MLS. They've played 13 times they've played in this tournament, and they're 0-10 against MLS teams. I know the email said, that they've beaten the Timbers three times already in this tournament, but that's when they were like a USL team. The Quakes have not beat an MLS team in the US Open Cup, and that's, I don't know. Nobody's going to call them out. None of the radio stations or the newspapers are going to come out. You know, KMBR isn't going to fucking, Ray Rattle's not going to jump on KMBR and say, fucking, you know, what's up with that? What's going on? If this was any other team in the Bay Area, they would be questioning the thinking of the management. You know, the general manager would have a lot more questions as the coach, you know, would be grilled a lot more. But anyway, again, it's frustrating. It's frustrating relying so heavily, you know, a team that just relies so heavily on a couple of players to be able to find the back of the net. You know, it seems like there's very little than that. You know, and I love him. You know, again, that's Wando. You know, Wando has been statistically one of the best strikers, especially since 2010, probably the best forward in MLS, you know, especially goal scoring wise. There's just nobody close, you know, and he's on fourth in the all time books in goals scored. So yeah, not trying to bring him down, you know, not disparaging Quincy or Wando, but the team just can't rely so much on them. Wando's, I think, got the second most minutes played in the team so far, and there has to be more depth. The team has to be working on something. I know this is only the second year with the stadium, so the money is. While they do have, you know, opportunities to make more money, you don't just get the big checks just all at once. I don't feel they're sitting on this big pile of money, but the money will be coming, and they need to start making smarter choices now to get, you know, to show the supporters that, hey, you know, we will spend this money right. You know, we're sponsoring off all names to all these places, but, you know, how is the money going to be spent? How is the money going to be spent? Is it just going to be better amenities, or is it going to be spent on better players, or you know, to expand the youth academy, keep that going, you know, get some people, you know, from their lower divisions up? And I don't know. I don't know. I've just barely started doing this podcast, but hopefully I can get close enough to the team where I could at least start asking these questions. Like, I mean, I love this team, you know. I'm not doing this to bring them down or anything. I really want the best for this team, so I think these questions need to be asked. And it's just more people talking about soccer and the San Jose Earthquakes, and I love that. But speaking of them growing their academy team and their minor league and this and that, the Quakes do have a under-23 team in Burlingame called the Burlingame Dragons. I've mentioned them before since I've started this show. Great team, really, really well ran, and I finally got a chance to go out to Burlingame and catch a game myself. They play at Burlingame High School, which is a fucking fancy ass high school. That shit was crazy. It's really nice, you know. It's really nice, and they have a really cool stadium. And man, they decked that out. They decked that Burlingame Dragons thing. The theme is really, you can tell you're at a Burlingame Dragons game. And it's a really nice stadium, a lot of seats. It was awesome. It was cool, you know. It's an amateur team, essentially, you know, I guess pro-am. I don't know what the name is, but it's the fourth division in the soccer pyramid. They're the under-23 affiliate of the San Jose Earthquakes. So, I mean, these guys could, you know, potentially be playing on Saturdays with the Quakes in a couple years. And so it was fun. It was fun to be able to go out there. Again, there's really good food. Man, this restaurant, they had like a million different kinds of sauces. And they had this, like, it looked like ketchup and mayo. So it looked kind of like Thousand Island or something. And dude, like, dude, that's hot. And I was like, that was my hot dog. $5 hot dog, dude, come on. You're not going to get a better deal. It was the same fucking thing that you get at all the other stadiums. But this one was $5. So he's like, that's really hot. And I was like, thanks for letting me know. That's exactly what I wanted. And it was fucking hot. So I forgot the name of the restaurant, but I'm going to check. I have to, you know, next time I go, I'll make a point to remember the restaurant. But yeah, the food was delicious. They had the hot dogs. They had tacos. They had all kinds of merch. That's what tripped me out, man. The Dragons, they got the merch game on lock. If you want whatever the hell you want, they have a lot of stuff. It was $10. The ticket was $10. You can't go wrong. There was so much parking. There's a Caltrain station right fucking across the street. I didn't even know that. When I saw that, I was like, well, I know how I'm coming here next time. It's Park in San Jose, you know. Park in San Jose, it is a couple zones, so it'll probably be like $15 or something. But yeah, Park in San Jose, take the train in to freaking Burlingame, get off, watch some soccer, go back. And dude, these guys are good. These guys are fucking good. Again, the Quakes wouldn't, you know, make a connection with them or whatever if this wasn't a good team. And so it was fun. Plus, it was the first ever Bay Area Derby, San Francisco Derby. I don't know what the hell it's getting called. I don't know what we're calling it. I don't really want to call it San Francisco Derby, because, you know, Burlingame's not San Francisco, you know. It's right there, but it's not San Francisco. So I don't know, Bay Area 101 Derby, whatcha, or 280 Derby, so it sounds fancier. I think 280 Derby is way, way classier, dude. So that was cool. San Francisco has a team in the PDL as well. They have San Francisco City Football Club, sfcfc.org. I'm just kidding. So that was fun. It was the first time they ever played. It was interesting. They had San Francisco City had a little contingent of fans. They were cool, man. They were out there making noise. That's some really good shit talking, grade A banter. you can't hate on that. You know, they weren't being vulgar or anything, but they were fucking good, and they were being loud. And the Burning Gate Dragons, they got this mascot. It's a little dragon, you know, little green dragon, and he was over there waving his flag. I'm watching the game, and all of a sudden I look over, and the dragon got beheaded. The dragon was fucking headless. I couldn't see where the head ended up, and all of a sudden you see in the little section where San Francisco City supporters are, and they got the fucking head. They beheaded the dragon. As much as I wanted to be upset, they weren't dicks about it, you know. They kind of just took the head, passed it around, and gave it right back. So yeah, the dragon got a little too close, man. That's not their problem. The dragon had to keep his fucking distance, or fucking. So that was funny. I wanted to get upset being there supporting the dragons on me, like, ah, you rapscallions, but that was just fucking hilarious. And again, they were dicks about it. They gave it right back. But anyway, yeah, if you have a chance to get out there, Berlin, I mean, I know that they only play during the summer. It's $10. Fucking food's super cheap. Parking's free. You're in Burlingame. There's hella trees and shit. It's a really nice city. So that was fun. And again, they fucking smashed. The Dragons fucking smashed. First ever derby, whatever we're calling it, 101, 280, Bay Area Derby, whatever you want to call it. It was not a very close one to get going. It was 5-3 Dragons. And 5-3. No. Why does that seem wrong? I was there. It was 4-0. 5-3 was the LA Laguna. Damn, I was there and I don't fucking remember. It was a long drive. It took 2 hours. 2 hours and 8 minutes to drive there. So it was 4 hours total driving time from Salinas to Burlingame. It's not that bad, but it was, again, so 4-0. I forgot it was a clean sheet. That's not even close. There was some fucking good players out there. I was expecting, there's a dude, Jamel Cox, that he led the team in goals of the Dragons. He had 5 goals. Which was a record, it sounds cool, but the team's only 2 years. This is their second year, you know. So he had 5 goals. So I was, you know, going out there expecting, you know, seeing him. He was out in midfield. He plays, you know, in the right flank, right wing, I guess you'd call him. Dude's fucking fast. But the day belonged to Danny Masofsky, man. That dude. He had a hat trick, and his second goal, again, Jamel Cox, beautiful little flick, kind of, I guess, what the Quakes were trying to do with the Timbers in the U.S. Open, but it worked for the Dragons. It worked for the Dragons. Jamel Cox, little flick to Danny Masofsky, and dude didn't miss. The dude wasn't missing. Every shot he took went in. It was impressive, and it's not like San Francisco City, you know, didn't know what they were doing, and they were impressive. They were good. And they got a great fucking story, dude. 51% fan owned. So it's a really local grassroots type thing. And they put a great squad out there. That they were really trying for nothing, or makes it seem a lot worse than it actually was. But yeah, cause you were just Danny Masofsky. You were not fucking stopping the dude. If he had a chance, it was going in the back of the net. And it was fun. It was fun. That was my first time out, get to see a hat trick. I was, you know, I didn't have a hat, and I was thinking, man, I can't throw a hat. That'd look kind of weird anyway. But anyway, in the second half, fuck, I don't know what minute, but they brought a dude, Brock Messenger. His name was Brock Messenger, and I think he said he was from New Zealand. So I don't know if he's going to college here or whatever, but he's a Kiwi. Is that what you call New Zealanders? I think you call them Kiwis. If that's rude, sorry, I didn't mean to. But yeah, and this dude, if there was anybody, I mean, there was some great players out there, but if there was somebody that I think that I would see playing MLS at some time soon, Brock Messenger was that dude, man. He was big, he was fast, he was smart, and hey, his passes were on point. Yeah, as soon as he came in, like, dude, this dude, I don't know if he came in cause, and everybody had tired legs or whatever, but he really stood out, and yeah, and I was like, I could see that dude playing in MLS, so I'm going to see how that goes. So that's my prediction. Starting my scouting role all of a sudden. But yeah, man, I highly recommend you come out, you know, to Burlingame, you know, Burlingame Dragons.com. Go on Twitter, on Facebook, whatever. You could easily find the schedule. $10 tickets, you know, to, and all the players. Right after the game, they set up tables. They all sign autographs. It's badass, dude. It's a really cool timeout. And you know, again, it's a really nice cool way to go out and, you know, just spend an afternoon and watch some great soccer. And like I said again a couple weeks ago, over 30%. So you know, 3 out of 10 players in MLS. Played in the PDL, so it's a very good chance that you know some of the players that you see playing are going to be up in MLS, and you can say, "Hey, man, I remember that dude. I remember that dude. You know, when he was coming up, just playing, you know, on the weekends over out there for the Dragons." But yeah, and what are the Quakes got? Quakes. Oh, up next, the Quakes are in Orlando on Saturday. That's gonna be an interesting game. Again, everybody fucking, you know, we all know what happened in Orlando. So I know that's gonna be a very emotional game for both teams, but especially for Orlando and for the city. I still want the Quakes to win. You know, it's still soccer, but I really get the emotion behind it, and I wish, you know. Again, I'm glad MLS is back. It's a really good to get back into that mode, you know, really to get back into something that really makes us happy, and to be able to take our minds off something, you know, real quick. And it's 4:30 game. Oh, that's going to be cool. So yeah, Saturday at 4:30 in Orlando. Again, winning on the road in MLS is really, really tough. It looks like the Panamanians might be back. Quintero and Godoy, that'd be fucking, I don't know. That'd be really cool of them. It'd be really cool, man, if they jump right back into the lineup. We could definitely use the help. And at this point, we're barely hanging on to playoff contention, right, you know, have the last spot there, 1 point ahead of Portland, and well, we all saw how that's been going lately. And let me see what the hell who Portland has next. I think they play Real Salt Lake next. But anyway, yeah, so. You know, it looks like Wanda won't be back. Hold on. I'm here looking up the Timber schedule. I want to see who they play. I think they play Real Salt Lake. Yeah. Yeah, they play Real Salt Lake. So that's going to be a fucking... That's going to be a doozy there. So, again, that... So, if Real Salt Lake can handle... Or tie with the Timbers and the Quakes could somehow find a way to win, it'd be doubly good for them. If they it would put the Quakes right up there, man. Then a win would really, really start putting a little bit of space between them and the teams that are really falling out, you know, the Sounders, Houston, and Sporting. But it's on the road. It's on the road. Orlando's not. Of course, see, they're undefeated at home. They're 2-0-5 at home. So it's gonna be tough, especially with, you know, the two players up there missing. Fuck. We'll see. Anyway, I'm not gonna sit here and dwell and think about it on the microphone, but we'll see next week what happens. Hopefully I come back with some good news.